Well, welcome everyone, and welcome to our interview with Sean and Diana Crowe as part of our Raising Kids to Do Hard Things course. Sean and Diana, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Brett. We're glad to be with you.
Yes.
Well, I want to dive right in, and I want people to kind of get to know the two of you before we start talking about your kids. So tell us a little bit about Sean and Diana, and maybe tell us a little bit of how Sean and Diana got together. You know, take us back.
All right. Well, we were high school sweethearts. And so we met when, and you're going to have to remind me the details. I was grade.
You were grade, well, we first met when I was in grade 8 and you were grade 9.
Yes, but we started dating.
I was 15 and you were 16.
Yeah, and so God was gracious. We both probably shouldn't have been dating at that age, didn't have any idea what it was all about, didn't receive the kind of instruction we should have probably received, but God was gracious and he sustained us, and we ended up being married when Diana was 20 and I was 19. And Diana, I was 20 and you were 19. There you go.
I was going to say, how did you get 2 years younger over the course of the 5 years?
It's funny how that works. Anyway, we got married. I was 20, she was 19. That was 1992. Just recently celebrated our 25th anniversary. So we've been through a lot. Ended up going to seminary later in life. Became a pastor roughly around 15 years and took my first church as lead pastor over 8 years ago. We're living here in Halifax, Nova Scotia, and for the most part, been happily married. So anything you would add to that, honey?
No, I think that about covers it. I'm a stay-at-home mom, although my kids are older now. So just looking at what's next for me.
Yeah. And I've heard from your daughter Jaquel that you were a homeschool, you know, super mom. And so
super mom.
Yeah. Yes, that's the quote.
Oh okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, I did. I homeschooled them when Jaquel was grade 5 and Travis was grade 3 up until they finished, and I loved it.
Awesome. Well, I know we have a lot of homeschooling families in this program, so and we actually have a question from a homeschooling mom about some curriculum stuff, so we'll get to that later. We won't jump the gun, but thank you for sharing some of that background. Now, tell us about your kids. You have two kids, a boy and a girl. So tell us about Jaquel and Travis.
All right. So Jaquel, as most of the people may know, is 20 years old. And she was obviously her first child. And she was fun to raise. She was, like I say, first child. So we were learning how to be parents. And, you know, parents who are listening know how it goes. You kind of learn as you go. And so it took a while before we got pregnant, before Diana got pregnant with Jaquel. And so we had a few years of marriage on our own. And then she came along and she tested our marriage a little bit, I'd say. She wasn't the best sleeper. She'll be cringing when she hears this, but the Lord definitely used that to bring sanctification to Diana and I through that. But then 2 years later, Travis came along and everything that we learned about parenting from Jaquel was basically of no use whatsoever, because they're just absolutely different kids. And so the Lord has really he's really given us the grace to be able to parent two very different children. Jaquel is much more of a book learning type, loved school. Travis, not so much. Travis liked to be outside doing things. And so we were very blessed to be able to homeschool, because Diana was able to tailor the learning experience to the two different children. So Jaquel has gone on and done lots of writing and lots of speaking and is involved in ministry in a much more public way. And Travis is a much quieter a servant of Christ, and he does things in a much more background kind of way. And so we're very blessed to have two different kids. And as it turns out, we're two very different parents. So that's kind of us in a nutshell.
That's great. That's really great. Well, I know we're going to be talking, we'll be talking more about Travis and both of your kids as we go through the questions, especially some of the questions submitted from our families. But I want to take some time to kind of walk through a bit of Jaquel's story specifically. Obviously, Jaquel with her book, This Changes Everything, How the Gospel Transforms the Teen Years, and writing for websites like Desiring God and the Gospel Coalition. You know, she's become a public figure. People know her and have heard of her and have questions about, you know, how did you as parents cultivate that love for writing? How did you encourage that? You know, how has it been for your family to have her take off in the way that she has? And especially for our families and the Raising Kids to Do Hard Things course, we talk a lot about identifying, you know, delights in our kids and cultivating those delights and how they can take our kids further and higher than we ever could imagine. And so it seems like Jaquel is really an example of that with her love for writing and where that's taken her. So I'd like to pull that out a little bit, and then we'll get to a number of questions submitted from our families. But to start with, I would love to know, and I'm sure other people would too, as they're looking to see things in their kids, to draw out things in their kids and to cultivate those delights. You know, when did Jaquel first express interest in writing? How old was she? What were the first signs that you saw as parents that writing was something special for her?
I think Jaquel, even when she was really little, she loved reading and she loved making up stories on her own with her toys. She would always be in her own world with stories. And so it just seemed a natural progression when she could write that she wanted to make up those stories herself. And so at that time, I didn't start homeschooling her until grade 5, but even still, we were always telling stories and in books and learning that way. And then when she got older and she was writing, and we did a lot of just different types of writing, but we were also careful not to make her whole life about writing, because although she enjoyed writing, I didn't want that to be kind of like, this is your gift, so that's all you're going to do.
Right.
You still need to explore other things. And with schooling, it would have been easier for me to give her all writing projects, but that wouldn't make her as rounded. So making her do projects that were more hands-on as well, so that she kind of had a balance there. So I didn't just, you know, you're good at writing, so that's all you're going to do kind of thing, but use it appropriately.
Exactly.
And yeah. We did a lot of just, again, different kinds of writing and writing with different people. We had, she wrote a story with me where we each wrote part of the story, and she did that with her grandmother as well. They went back and forth on email, writing parts of a story. So just using different ways that way and different outlets to use her writing in different ways.
Yeah.
I would just add also, it just by God's providence, she really, really had the desire to start writing when blogs were all the thing. Blogs are not quite all the thing now. It seems now everything's podcasting and YouTubing. But at that time, when Jaquel was 8, 9, 10, 11, blogs were just taking off. And so we asked her, you know, if that was something that she would like to do. And that just seemed to be a right fit. So that's really, I would say, where we really saw her writing start taking off.
Writing steadily, yeah.
Yeah. Tell us a little about that, because not everyone knows this story. Jaquel wrote a guest post for your blog, Sean, at 11 years old, right? And
yeah,
decided to start her own. Tell us a little bit about those beginning days.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, until you just mentioned that, I completely forgot about that. Yeah, I had started a blog right back when blogs were all the thing. And really, I didn't really do too much through it, but it was just kind of fun. And I got to kind of say what I wanted to say on the internet. And if people wanted to read it, they could read it. If they didn't, they didn't have to. And so I don't really remember the circumstances around why I asked Jaquel to write a post, whether it was something that she instigated or I instigated. But however it came about, yeah, she wrote a post on my blog. And I think she just kind of the blog got bit by the blog bug.
Yeah.
And so then, because I had started my blog, it was easy enough for me to start her a blog. And in those days you would use, we used the Blogger platform and they basically did everything for you. So it's been really fun to see her blog kind of progress over the years and become what it is today. But yeah, that's kind of how that happened.
That's great. Now, you know, For those who don't know, Jaquel went on to publish over 1,000 articles on her blog between the age of 12 and 16, which is just incredible. And she was writing about what God was teaching her in, you know, in His Word and what she was learning. And it was not as if her blog ever took off, you know, and got a lot of traffic. It was mostly family and friends, but she just really put in so much time. And the question that I would have for you guys, obviously, you know, Diana, as you shared, you know, you were striving to help her balance her pursuit of writing with other responsibilities and other, you know, skill sets, and not have writing just be the only thing, which I think is so important. But at the same time, for a girl to write 1,000 articles between the age of 12 and 16, she obviously was being able to put in time, and you guys were supporting her in doing that. And, you know, I work with a lot of young writers, and I know, you know, a lot of them would not have time, or they would not be given the time to do that. How was she able to do that? And how did decisions that you made free her up to write that much, you know, before the age of 16?
Well, I think one thing, Jaquel is very driven. So it wasn't a lot of us forcing her to do it, or not forcing her, but to do that. Like, she wanted to write. And I think for her, because of what she wrote was what she was learning herself in God's Word. And she was learning as she went to church and read different books and things. So it just became a natural thought process for her to, as she went through life and she observed things, to think, I'm learning this, maybe other people would want to learn that. And so her writing, it didn't seem that there were many times where she was stuck about something to write about. It was more about, this is what's going on in my life. So it became easy that way. But if she didn't have an idea for a blog, just sitting down with her and brainstorming about things that were going on, and freeing her up to not feel like she had to have the perfect article every time, or the perfect blog post, but she could just write about the things that she wanted to write about. And it was easier homeschooling because I was able to give her time to work on her writing and to do that. But a lot of it was her own driving to do that herself.
Right. Well, and that's perfect, because, you know, one of the big things that we focus on in the Raising Kids course is the idea of we're trying to raise self-motivated kids. We're not trying to, you know, to make our kids be a writer, you know, by forcing them or by, you know, making them, but to find those things that they truly have that self-motivation to do themselves. So Jaquel had that. She was the one driving her participation in writing, not you. But at the same time, you were able to help free up time for her to put into her writing. Could you talk a little bit about, you know, or can you remember any ways in which you specifically did that, how you specifically made time for her in her schedule to write?
Yeah, well, it, you know, when I think about how it's funny when you mention that number, like I've heard that number, but I would never think of it that way. It's like, wow, that is a lot of 1,000 articles. But it really, what I would attribute a lot of that to was that both Diana and I were very concerned that both of our kids learn, and that they learn a lot and in very different ways. So we weren't concerned just about sitting them down at a table and putting information into their heads, although that's part of it. We wanted to encourage them to learn how to learn for themselves. And so we very much both promoted a lot of reading. And of course I focus on one kind of reading. I'm very much into theology and doctrine and that sort of thing. And not as though Diana doesn't read that kind of material, but she is probably more rounded than I am. And she reads, you know, other things like that. And so literature and novels and that sort of thing. And so we both worked really hard at getting our kids to see the value of learning. And so Jaquel was learning so much, she had things to say. And as a preacher, the counsel is always, when you have nothing more to say, stop preaching, sit down. But the thing is Jaquel, she always had things to say. And so we always encouraged her to say them. So it wasn't as though we had to carve out time for her to say these things. These were just the things that she was learning. And she had this forum, which was her blog, to put them out there. So I don't think we had to work at providing that space and that room for her. It was just a natural outgrowth of what she was learning. So the more that came in, the more she had to say, and she would just sit down and say it.
I was just going to say one thing maybe is that we did, because she would be at home writing, both Sean and I were available most of the time to go over things with her. So if she was struggling about how to write this, or is this a good idea, there was always time there to talk to either Sean or myself to go over it and to talk things through before she wrote it. So it was us carving out time for her as well.
That's really good. That's great. Well, that's so helpful. And thank you for going into that for me. So let's transition now to kind of some of the maybe larger, more public accomplishments and fruit of Jaquelle's writing, as you know, she's published a book and she's now writing for these large websites and platforms. You know, did it ever enter either of your minds that she would become a published author with a large platform reaching and encouraging so many people? Was that on the radar? And at what point did that ever become a thought?
Well, you know, as far as where she is today, was that ever a thought? I don't know if that was so much a thought, although I do know that when I would read the things that she was writing, I know for myself, I was incredibly blessed and encouraged by the insights that she had and the things that she was saying. And I repeatedly remember myself reading something that she posted and thinking other people need to read this for their own good and for the glory of God. And so I don't know if you remember this, but I actually tried to get her. I did a few things that I thought I could do to try to get her, to try to expand her readership so that other people could hear what she had to say. And I actually sent out a email to a few people, you and your brother being two of them, and said, hey, I would love it if you would take a look at my daughter's blog and just give her a word of encouragement. So, and you know, you may or may not remember, but you actually did that, and that meant a lot. But I know for myself, it's not that I thought that she was going to write books and have this platform that she has, but I always thought that she had something to say and other people needed to hear it.
Well, that's great. And I know that she has told me a story of reading a book, actually, my older brother Josh's book, with you, Sean, and you asking her, do you think, you know, what do you think? Do you think you could ever write a book someday at, you know, 21 years old? And Jaquelle reported to me that her response was, no way, what a dream. And
yeah,
and you, what did, do you remember what you said to her after that?
Oh yeah, I completely remember that. I mean, what, once she began, you know, once she got older and her writing was developed even furthermore, there was no question in my mind that she could do this. It was just a matter of whether she wanted to do it and whether she was going to do it. When you mentioned that book, that just brought that back to memory when we were going through that book. And you know, she was thinking, oh, I could do that. And I says, absolutely, you could, because again, it goes back to the fact that she somehow had a perspective on God's word and what it meant to apply God's word as a child and as a young person as a teen, that I knew that she had things that young people needed to hear. So I definitely knew she could do it, and I, you know, in fact, encouraged her to do it. So yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's a neat story, and I just know from working with so many young people that having that sort of encouragement from your parents, it just makes all the difference in the world, and not having it can completely take the wind out of your sails. So I know that Jaquelle is so grateful, I'm sure, to the two of you for not only, you know, all the input on her writing, the answering the questions, you know, supporting her, believing in her, and telling her that. So that's wonderful. So let's talk about now, as she has, you know, I mean, she's just getting started. I mean, it's not as if she, you know, it's not as if she's arrived, but God is using her, and she has a public ministry and a platform. And I'm just, I like to ask two questions kind of that go together. And that is, what has been the best part, you know, for you as parents and as a family to Jaquel having this public ministry, having this, you know, quote unquote success? And then on the flip side, what's been the hardest part as parents and as a family with her having this public ministry? So the two of you can split that up however you want, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on those two questions.
Okay. I'll go first. And I think probably the best part is just seeing some of the opportunities that she's having to get the message out there and to encourage other people. I think it's just neat to see, just again, opportunities that she wouldn't have probably had otherwise, and as well getting emails from people and that have been changed or that want to follow the Lord more closely and more seriously. I think that's the best part of it, and knowing that she's making a difference however people use that. And the worst part is the negativity, the negative comments. And for a while I was reading most comments and then I stopped, because it really wasn't good for Mama Bear to see some of the comments or see people, you know, posting things just to mock or things like that. So that's what I would say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For me, when you're in the public eye, there's going to be negatives about it. That's just the reality of it. So that never really bothered me. I always expected that kind of thing. And actually I was surprised by how little negative response came. Almost all of the response was positive. So that really wasn't difficult. One of the things that I've found difficult as a father is some of the male suitors that attempt to reach out to her through the internet because they've seen her online. And so just dealing with that in a godly way and trying to encourage these young men that this is not kind of the way you go about seeking after a mate. But anyway, that's the toughest thing. And that to me is pretty minor. For me, one of the, you know, and for Diana as well, I would say the best part of this, and to me that it far outweighs any of the negative, the best part of this for Diana and I is to see God blessing her ministry and being glorified through what she is doing. Because whether it's Travis and his more quiet service of the Lord or Jaquel and her more vibrant public ministry to the Lord, our desire has always been that God is glorified through whatever endeavors they set their heart and minds towards. Mm. And so for us to see people benefiting from her articles and being blessed by her book and now even her speaking ministry, to be able for me to be there with her sometimes, and Diana as well, to go on these trips with her and to see the Lord working through her in the lives of young people and adults alike, there's nothing better than that.
That's true.
Nothing better. I mean, our desire since the day that both of our kids were born, our desire was that the Lord would use them in whatever way he saw fit, and we get to watch that happening in both of their lives and in such vastly different ways, and it's so incredibly encouraging.
Praise the Lord. That's so beautiful and wonderful. And I'm gonna use this high point to jump into our submitted questions now from our Raising Kids to Do Hard Things families. And so we're just gonna start off with a question for you, Diana, as the mom. And this actually pertains to something that Jaquel shared in her book, This Changes Everything. So here's the question. It's from a mom. She says, I would like to know how Jaquel's mom cultivated trust and intimacy between them. I think in her book, Jaquel mentions that once a week, her mom would sit down with her and just ask her some questions, pray together, and basically mentor her. I would love to have this kind of time with my oldest daughter now that she's becoming more independent in her schoolwork. What kind of advice can she give me on how to set this up wisely? I don't want it to feel like another last chore before the day's schoolwork is done. Diana, what would you advise to this mom?
That's a good question. I take it maybe a step farther for moms that have younger kids is to start younger with carving out a special time for just you and each child. That's a special time where you can talk and just, you know, get to know them for who they are. And for an older child, I think it's important that you make a commitment as a parent to this time, because there's always going to be things that could come up that could take that place. And as a mom, to say, no, you are more important, and we are going to have this time, and it's could be different for every schedule, but ours was tried to be the same time every week. And we'd make it a special time. Sometimes it would be if your relationship's not maybe not going so well, is to not make it so heavy, but you know, getting a special dessert and a hot cocoa and going up to the bedroom and closing the door and just being a time to just talk uninterrupted and to find out what's going on in their life, and making it not so much like a school meeting. Now, each child is different, so it's going to look different. Jaquel and I often read a book together and just discussed the chapter, and just that springboard to different subjects and different things that were going on in her life and things that were going on in my life. And that's changed as she's gotten older. Our meetings have changed quite a bit, but it's still, she knows that's a priority for me, is that time that we can talk and we can know, and she knows that I'm going to call her on sin. She's going to talk to me about sin, and that it's a time just for the two of us.
Yeah. And I would jump in there and just say the where Diana ended there was the focus of those meetings was sanctification. So her, I think that's one of the ways that I would keep it from being just another regular before school work meeting, is that the focus is sanctification and discipleship of your children.
That's great. And you know, it sounds like, you know, it really is something that you built around, you know, it kind of grew organically out of who Jaquel is and your relationship starting at a young age. And, you know, for Jaquel, it just sounds like reading a book and discussing it together. That's like the perfect, you know, maybe the perfect format, but maybe for a different child, that would not be the perfect format. You know, you really have to get to know the child and do it in a way that fits them, you know, and fits the relationship.
Yes.
Yes and no. Because yes, you know, you're going to look at that meeting in a different way depending on the child you're dealing with. But I mean, I mentioned how Jaquel and Travis are different, and Travis is not quite as avid of a reader as Jaquel, and not so much into book learning. But Travis and I work through a book as well, because the fact of the matter is that both kids need to be discipled, and a disciple is a learner. Right. So even though he's graduated from school and his interests are not as you know, directly related to reading as Jaquel's, we still read a book together all the time, and we get together and discuss it, because my responsibility as his father is to disciple him and to teach him how to become a Christ follower and then to pursue whatever desires the Lord gives him.
Awesome. That's great. This is why you guys are answering the questions and not me. So, but that's great. I appreciate that that clarification. And I was interested, and I was guessing that some of our families would be interested to know, are you doing anything similar with Travis? So that's great to hear that you are. So that's really good. All right. Well, speaking of Travis,
once a month we.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, once a month, we switched the first meeting at the beginning of the month. So Sean will meet with Jaquel and I'll meet with Travis. And we started that when they were a bit younger, just so that Jaquel could get kind of a man's perspective on different things, and Travis a woman's, and talked about things with them as well, so that they were getting kind of a mix of one-on-one time with both parents.
Oh, that's great. That's a wonderful format. Sure. I hope a lot of our families will try to incorporate a similar approach. I know from Jaquel that has just been so formative for her. So I'm sure for Travis.
Yeah, let me just jump in quick here on this one. And this is what I would want to say to parents. Diana and I, we have a way that we do things. So I meet with Travis once a week. Diana meets with Jaquel once a week. We go through a book. We talk about different things. We have a way that we do things. And what I would want to encourage parents to realize is that you don't have to do things the exact same way that we do things. But what you do have to do is that you have to realize that your responsibility is to disciple your children. Mm-hmm. And so however that happens, you know, we only have two kids, so we had some other freedoms. I'm a pastor, so again, I had some freedoms that other fathers won't have. But whatever you do and however you work things out, just realize that the discipleship of your children is first and foremost your responsibility. And however you do that, just keep that in mind. You need to train them how to be Christ followers.
That's so good. Thank you. Yeah, that's a great point, and I'm sure helpful to some of those parents who maybe feel like, well, our situation is so different. You know, I don't know if we could do exactly what Sean and Diana do, and they can feel that freedom. No, it's not about following a formula, but it is about taking responsibility for discipling your children. So that's great. Thank you.
Cool.
Yeah. So our next question is from another mom. And she would like to know how Travis has found it, being in Jaquel's quote unquote shadow, you know, just with all that she's done, and maybe the more public, you know, having more of that public service to the Lord. And she said, how do you help Travis root for Jaquel and not become resentful of her success and the focus that's placed on her because of her more public service?
Yeah, well, again, I keep going back to this, but I have to do this again and just point out that the benefit here is that Travis and Jaquel are so vastly different. And so fortunately, Travis has never been jealous of Jaquel and her ministry. He would not want to write a book, and he would not want to have that kind of a public ministry that she's had. So I don't think that he has ever struggled with resenting her and what she's doing. That being said, there are struggles that he has with not so much concerning with what she's doing, but the fact that she's very driven in life and you know, knows what she wants and, you know, grabs the bull by the horns and has gotten right in there. And I think what we've just really tried to do is encourage him to realize that God has made him the way that he is, and he is not supposed to be he's not like Jaquel, and he's not supposed to be like Jaquel, and it's up to him to simply follow Christ and be responsible to God in the areas that God has gifted him. So I don't know if Diana has anything to add to that, but he's, you know, I think he's genuinely happy for her and her success. I mean, Jaquel and Travis have an excellent relationship, so that's maybe another piece of it, because they love to spend time together, and so they have a really good relationship. So I haven't noticed that to be a big problem. Have you?
Yeah, not really. I think you answered that well. I would say one thing that we're aware of is that Jaquel's ministry is not his ministry as well. So he is not expected to read everything she writes and know everything that she's doing. And that is the way she is serving the Lord, and he will serve the Lord his way. We let him know what's going on with her, and he knows things like that. But it's not a matter of Jaquel's ministry and the family all fits around it. We all have our own ministry and serve God in where he's placed us.
Yeah, and I just add one other thing too. I had somebody ask me the other day, they said to me, I'd love to sit down and talk to you about what it's like to be the father of a famous, to have a famous daughter. And my response was, I don't really have too much to say, because in my eyes, she's not my famous daughter. She's my daughter. So she doesn't walk around this house like she's a famous person. She's just a run of the mill everyday person. I know that's one of the things that you guys are really focused on, that Jaquel is not this, you know, child prodigy. She's just a young lady who has sought to follow the Lord. And so around here, she's not my famous daughter. She's just my daughter. And when I see what she's doing, in the same way when I see what Travis is doing, I'm grateful that the Lord is using her however he is. And so I don't really think what's going on with her has influenced her relationship with her family, where we're a very close family, always have been, regardless of what happens. So if somebody succeeds, we all rejoice together. And if somebody mourns, we all mourn together. So
That's so good. Yeah. And I think that is part of God's good design for family and these relationships. You know, it is a grounding that we need. And the local church provides that same role. You know, hopefully, we are never walking around as the famous daughter, the famous son, the famous dad, the famous mom, but just, in the home and in the church were just, you know, Brett, Jaquel, Sean, Diana, you know, Travis. So that's great.
Yeah, you got it. Yep. Excellent.
Yeah. All right. So let's move on to our next question. And this is a question from a parent who would like to hear how you have supervised and encouraged good friendships for your kids.
Yeah, this is a question we really, it's very simple to answer in one way. And in another way, we're not especially qualified to answer this question because, again, by the Lord's providence, He has brought us to a place where neither of our kids have, we've been very, very concerned that they would have good friends, but the situations that the Lord has put us in have resulted in situations where they haven't had very many opportunities to have a lot of friends because we homeschool them, A. B, we've tried to look for things to get involved with concerning homeschooling, but we live in Halifax, Nova Scotia, and the homeschooling community is not what it was when we started homeschooling in Texas. There was lots of outlets to seek and find good godly friends. Right. And so there was that. And then the third thing is that I was called to pastor a quite a small church. And besides a few other young people in the church, our kids pretty much would have been the youth group if we'd had one. So we've always wanted them to have good and godly friends, but by the Lord's providence, there hasn't been that many opportunities. It's not to say that they haven't had friends here and there. And even the Lord was gracious and brought a young man to our church that has become a good friend of Travis's. But for Jaquel, she just hasn't had any close friends her own age. But what she has had is that she has had a church family that has been friends to her, people of all different ages and all different genders, and to both her and Travis, or all different ages and both genders. And so we've seen the church become our kids' family and their friends. And that's one of the reasons, again, like Jaquel was able to write an article about intergenerational friendships and how those are so important. So we haven't had to deal with the same things that parents who send their kids to public school or in private school have to deal with. Would we have liked our kids to have had more friends of their own age? Sure, but only if they're going to be good and godly influences on them. And that just hasn't really been the case. So we haven't really had to supervise and encourage, like we've tried to encourage good friendships, but there hasn't been situations where we've really had to get too involved in that area. I don't know if that's a good response, but that's kind of where we've been with that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a great response. I mean, I think what we're going for here is just for people to get a peek behind the scenes. You know, they can have their assumptions of what life looks like and just to say, okay, yeah, you know, here's Sean and Diana and their kids, and they haven't had a lot of opportunity for, you know, same age friends, but this is how they've handled that, and this is what they've seen instead. I think there's a lot of families. I mean, I can just say working with young people, a lot of young people who feel like they don't have many friends. It seems like that's an epidemic these days, but to hear that Jaquel and Travis have been able to draw on the strength of a large and diverse church family, that's a great encouragement. You know, and obviously they're both growing and thriving in their walk with the Lord and the family relationships, despite not having the level of peer group and friendships that they would like to have and maybe that they will have at later seasons of life. So that, I think that's really helpful and probably more encouraging than if they had lots of friends, because I think some of our families might not be able to relate to that. So
yeah, and what it's done is while we might look at that situation and go, you know, kind of cry out to the Lord and say, why have you not provided more friends? What we have seen, in fact, is that they have a closer relationship with us, their family, and a closer relationship, as I mentioned previously, with their church. And so really that's what it's all about, is to have a close relationship with family, close relationship with your church, and then beyond that, as far as your peer groups, like you say, if the Lord so blesses, then He so blesses. If He doesn't, then He doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. Well, let's get to our next question. And I would assume that maybe you've heard versions of this question before. I know that my parents dealt with this with Alex in my book. do hard things, and this idea that, wow, we haven't seen a young person, Jaquel's age, that seems to love the Lord so much. You know, is this just Jaquel, or is this your parenting? You know, that's the question. What would you respond to that?
Oh, it's totally our parenting. No, I think part of Jaquel's ministry is that she writes articles and she shares things online, but she doesn't share every struggle that she has. So people do only see one part of her. And not to say that she's any different at home or those sort of things, but she has the same struggles and the same issues of faith and figuring out how the Lord's working in her life as everybody else. I think that she's seen from both Sean and I a love for the Lord as well. So it's especially with Sean being a pastor, we need to be very careful that there's sometimes a more difficult side of ministry, and you don't want to be sharing all the discouragements of that, but the joys of following the Lord and her learning herself of that joy in following the Lord does not mean that everything is going really well, but it means that she's learning her trust and her faith in the Lord by herself. And also us, it's not our faith that we want the kids to have. We want them to have their own faith. So it's transitioning so that their faith becomes their own, that they work it out themselves. And that's an ongoing process. And it's been at different levels in both of them of how they are working out their own faith. And so Jaquel's faith is her own. It's not because mom and dad said, and it's, she does love the Lord and she wants to please the Lord. And it's very encouraging to see that, but it also to remind parents that they're watching you and they're watching how you are responding to things that happen and how you are reading the Word of God. Do you have joy when you read it? Do you have joy when you go to church? What are your kids seeing that is important to you?
Right. That's so good. And our next question really kind of follows up on this. It's really almost the same question. But this parent would like to know, this mom would like to know how you lived your lives, and I think you've already touched on this, but how did you live your lives to encourage an intimate relationship with Christ for your kids? Not just Jaquel, who's public, but Travis as well. And I would just say to this, you know, I know my dad likes to say, you know, parents should never take all the credit when their children succeed or turn out well, but neither should they take all the blame when they don't. You know, that there is this sense that it's not completely up to the parent. It's not completely our parenting, but at the same time, there is a sense in which we model, and there is fruit that other people want to say, okay, look, I love the fruit that you're seeing in your kids, and are you, you know, what are you doing, and is it different than what the broader culture or even the broader church culture is doing, and how you've approached raising and encouraging your children to love the Lord and to seek Him and to serve Him with their lives. And that's a valid question to ask. And there are often some practical things that have been done. So how would you break that down? I mean, where would you say, you know, God in His grace has directed you as parents to do some things maybe different than what you might consider typical in the church or just in our culture in terms of how you've pointed your children to the Lord?
Maybe one thing that this has all been kind of a work in progress as the kids change and go through different stages, we learn, is making your children know that you're on the same team, that it's not, especially if you're dealing with sin issue or trying to get them into the Word, it's not that I want you to do this, it's how can we come alongside you and help you to do this together. And especially with sin, it's not me against you or, you know, you against the Lord kind of thing. It's we're trying to guide you together. What can we do to help? What can we do differently? How can we, you know, listen to you and hear what you're saying and at the same time point you in the right direction? And those discipleship meetings as well have really been so key in that having that ongoing communication so that you know your child, you know what's going on with them. Not that they tell us, you know, every single dark secret, but at the same time, you're able to tell pretty quickly if things are just not going well and address them quickly rather than, you know, months later, how did we get to this point?
Right.
Yeah, and we were, I mean, it's a very simple thing, but we were both always, we always labored diligently to be available to our children. So Jaquel had different struggles than Travis had, and we were, you know, we wanted to validate their struggles. These are legitimate struggles, and we wanted, like Diana said, we just wanted to help them get through them. So right from the very beginning, again, I'll go back to something that Diana said. We wanted to make sure that this was their faith. It was not our faith, but they were learning faith from us. So we wanted to live our lives in such a way that our children saw Christ in us. And so we wanted to live the gospel before them. So we were careful to teach them obedience so that they could understand the law and see their sin, and then they could see their need for Christ. And we always sought to live a gospel-centered life for them. So that, you know, it sounds very much like the pastor answer, but that was the framework for everything that we did for them, was to point them to Christ.
That's great. That's really good. Well, our next question is more parent focused, as opposed to, you know, you interacting with your kids. This is more about you as a parenting team, and maybe even individually as parents. This mom would like to know in what areas you've struggled as parents and how you worked through that struggle. She includes the comment, "Sometimes it seems to us on the outside that these are super families that surely can't really exist." So could you debunk the super family myth here?
I'd like to, but we are a soup. No.
With a sense of humor.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You say that, but it really is true. We do a lot of laughing in this family. We don't take ourselves too seriously as when we don't have to, but then when we have to, we do. So we do have a lot of fun together as a family. As far as parenting struggles, I think for me, one of the hardest things is when your kids don't do things exactly the way that you want them to do them. And Diana might have a different response to this. I have pride issues. I don't have a problem admitting that. And so I like to be in control. And even decisions about, you know, that Jaquel makes and decisions that Travis make, they're not the exact same decisions that I would want to make. But what I find the biggest struggle is being able to train them to follow the Lord. And then at some point you need to just let them follow the Lord. So what Diana and I are finding, I think, is as the kids get older, now we're starting to have more struggles. At our church, we have a lot of young families with young children. And to me, that's the easiest time. Like, I know the young parents are thinking this is the hardest time because the kids aren't sleeping and you're always buying diapers and all of these things. But really, it's when they get older and you have to now start transitioning to them being adults, and yet they're still living in your house for the time, so you still have a responsibility to parent them. So that's, to me, that's the biggest struggles and has been all throughout, is when your kids are not making the exact same decisions you would make, yet they're not sinning, knowing when to get involved and when to let them just make those decisions. Do you have anything to
add? Yeah, no, I would agree with that. And I think how we work through them is a lot of communication. Mm-hmm. When we've blown it lots of times as parenting, when we were like, oh, that was not my best parenting day. And being quick to ask forgiveness of our kids, mm-hmm. to say, you know, I got mad and I shouldn't have, or I gave you the wrong answer, or I wasn't listening, or any of those things. And even right now, as Sean said, trying to get them, they're adults. And so how do you parent adults that maybe still need a little bit of direction, is being clear with them to say, you know, we're really not too sure how to do this, but let's talk this through together and see if I can understand you and you can understand me, and we can figure this out together.
That's so good. And I'm sure very, very helpful and encouraging for our families listening. And I just love to hear how you two have apologized to your kids. I just think that's so healthy for them to see. I know my parents did the same thing for us. And yeah, I'm not sure that that's I'm not sure that that's common. I'm not even sure if maybe some parents would think that you shouldn't do that. but I think it's so healthy, it's so wise, and it gives them an example to follow in terms of owning mistakes, owning sin, asking for forgiveness, and seeing that the two of you are striving to grow in godliness and are still, and are willing to admit to that. So that's so good. We have two more questions for you guys from our families. The next one is your thoughts on social media and internet use. This mom wants to know, how do you guide and protect your kids from overuse, wasted time, and the unknown quote-unquote friends found via this whole online stuff, not just now, but over the tween and teen years?
Yeah, that is a really important question, and I think there's a very simple answer to it, and that is to keep them off of it for as long as you possibly can. So people are always surprised to find out that Jaquelle didn't have any social media until she was 16 years old. She didn't have a cell phone. She didn't go. And even at 16, we did it slowly. So she started on Twitter, because on Twitter, there's not near as much interaction because you only have 140 characters. And so she started on Twitter, and then she got her Facebook account when she was 18. And the whole process, we always talked to her about it and tried to help her see why getting involved in that at an early age was not going to be helpful for her. And so she was able to see that we weren't trying to keep her away from something to hurt her. We were trying to keep her away from something that we thought wouldn't be helpful for her. And so again, going back to what Diana said, we really wanted our kids to know that we're on their side and we want what is best for them. And so I truly believe everything that I have learned about social media, and I'm one of those pastors that thinks that social media can be used for the glory of God, if you have that goal in mind, and it can also be something that can lead to all manner of sin and danger. And so I've done the time on thinking about social media and using social media and figuring out how it works best. And what I have no problem saying is that I do not think that it is something that is helpful for kids who are not yet ready to deal with the temptations that it will bring. So what I would say to that is keep them off social media as long as you can. And then once you decide that it is appropriate for them to go on social media, be incredibly involved in their social media life. I remember Jaquelle reviewed this book that dealt with young women and their social media lives. I think it was called American Girls and Their Social Media Lives, something like that. And if you want to know the dangers that your young people could be getting involved in online that you don't even know about, you read that book. It is astounding and frightening, to say the least. So that's what I would say to that. I would say keep them off as long as you can. And then once you decide it's appropriate for them to be on, train them how to use it properly. Don't just let the world train them how to use social media. You train them how to use it properly and be very involved with them in that.
And as you said, keeping communication open, because they will feel like they're missing out and they will feel like they're the odd child that doesn't have social media. And so keeping that communication open, validating their feelings, but at the same time saying these reasons are more important than you feeling left out right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so good. And I would just I want to add my amen to that. In my own experience, I mean, I feel like I inadvertently benefited from this approach, just because a lot of these things didn't, come to the fore. They were, so Facebook wasn't a thing, until I was in my late teens. And so, I did have the opportunity to grow up without all of the technologies and the social media access that younger people are growing up with today. But I can just see the effects and the studies that are coming out now on how social media is affecting teenagers. Tony Ranke at Desiring God, he's written a book on this and has a great interview on Desiring God with Jaquelle called Should Teens Own Smartphones? And if parents have not read that article, some of the research that Toni shares, and then the interview with Jaquel that really shares her experience with what you guys are talking about and the decisions that you made for her, and how she handled that and how she felt and just what made that work, this would be a great way to dive deeper into what we're talking about here. But I just add my amen to that, and I appreciate you guys taking that countercultural approach.
Yeah, I let me just add one other thing. For the parents out there who think, well, no, I think it's okay for my kids to be involved in social media earlier on, that's entirely fine. You can take that position. But what I will say is that you need to know what your kids are doing on social media, and you need to know how social media works. So what frightens me is how many parents have teenagers using all manner of different social media platforms, and the parents know nothing about the platforms that they're using. Like the very platforms themselves, some of them are designed in such a way that it encourages young people to get involved in things that they shouldn't get involved in. Like the most recent thing is Snapchat. And the interesting thing about Snapchat is that it's designed in such a way so that you post something on there and then within several seconds, that thing is gone. And you have no more accountability for what you've done. So it actually encourages people to do things that not think about them and do them. And so we need to see how these different social media platforms are changing us. And it's funny that you mentioned Toni Ranke's book, because that was exactly what I was going to point to. So, yeah, that's excellent.
Yeah. Well, I will include, as we post this interview for our families, I'll include a link to Toni's book and to the interview with Jaquel and Desiring God for those who would like to delve deeper. I'd also point people to our resource, Technology Overload, which will give you some strategies and some tips for how to cut back when you feel like technology has already gone too far in your family and you're not in a position where you're making these decisions up front, you know, like what we're going to do when our kids get old enough for social media, but you're actually at a place where, you know, this stuff is pervasive, and now how do you cut back? How do you communicate that? How do you do that effectively? That little PDF ebook, Technology Overload, could be of use to you. So I'll post all those links there, since this is a big topic, and I know people will want to go deeper with it.
Cool.
Awesome. All right. Well, our final question. We've already heard the answer to the first part, and that is, was Jaquel homeschooled? We know that she was starting in fifth grade. And the question is, if so, what curriculums did they use? Would you be able to maybe share a little bit of curriculums and just maybe approach to homeschooling that you've taken?
Sure. When I started homeschooling, we were in Texas, and they had done just about half a year in the Texas school system. And the school they were in was not a very wealthy area, so there was not a lot of parental support or guidance. And so both of our kids were excelling in that school based on the demographic of the area.
Right.
And so there was a lot of pressure put upon them, especially Jaquel being by grade, you know, four. So when I started homeschooling, my first job was to get them to love to learn and not be concerned about grades, especially with Jaquel. Everything was about the grade, to get the A, to get that perfect paper. So that was the first thing, is I was kind of doing some backpedaling of what she had learned. And so we did a lot of we did book work and things like that, but also learning that learning is fun, and it's not about the end goal is not the grade. The end goal is what you're actually learning. And if they were always getting 100%, well, then they weren't learning anything. So we needed to do something a little bit harder. So just seeing grades that way instead of, you know, the end goal. And then I used a lot of a Becca curriculum, and I also used Alpha and Omega curriculum. For Jaquel, again, she likes bookwork. She likes to have questions and answers. So those type of things. For Travis, not so much. And so I would kind of go with, what is the goal? If the goal was to learn science and not the writing part of it, then he could verbally give me the answers in a fraction of the time than it would have taken him for actually to write them down. But then as far as writing, you know, those he actually had to sit and write out.
Right.
So we did that book work, but then we also did a lot of, I like creative things. So we did, did some book projects. We always, every semester or year, we did something they wanted to learn. So we did units on nights, and we did units on cooking, and we did units on all sorts of things where the focus was more fun and seeing what we could learn about that subject. And so those were some of the things they remember best. Is when I asked them, you know, now what they thought about homeschooling, it was some of the things are like having hot cocoa with the air conditioning turned up in Texas reading Treasure Island, and when we made a castle out of a big cardboard box, and things like that that they remember, and to make learning and school fun. And Travis, when he got older, I looked more at some of the video curriculum because he learned better that way. And it was, we were always changing depending on what their interests were and how they were learning best. So it wasn't, at first I was, you know, you couldn't miss a question or you were the worst homeschool mom ever, but then you kind of got to realize you needed to loosen up and teach them to learn.
That's so good. Well, that, I'm sure that is will be incredibly helpful, especially to some of these families who are just getting started. And I know we have a number of families who are homeschooling after having gone to public school themselves, and they're trying to figure out, well, how do I take advantage of some of the things that homeschooling allows me to do, and not just try to recreate a public school in my home. And it sounds like you guys really did that. You really took advantage of that flexibility and made it fun and took the focus off the grades and worked with Jaquel and Travis in terms of how they learned best. So that's so good. I'd like to close this, unless, you know, of course, if you want to add anything more here, that's fine. But I'd like to close with one extra question, which is just if there was anything else that you two would love to share with parents out there who are striving to raise kids who love God, who love others, and make an impact on the world for good. You know, what would be your closing encouragement or any last words, anything that we haven't been able to cover, or just something you want to reemphasize that we've talked about already?
I would just really want to encourage parents to get to know their kids too. It can be really uncomfortable sometimes, especially if your kids are not really in the best mood or things like that, to put the time in to your kids, because it does go really fast, and your kids are all different and individuals, and you will have days as a parent, I know I did, where it's, I don't want to be a parent right now. I want to, you know, do what I want to do, and it's hard, to you know, raise these kids, and they've seen my mistakes, and they've seen the things that I failed at and are not perfect at, and I see the sin of myself in my kids sometimes, and it's knowing that these are all part of it, and raising them together as a family so that they see that you're imperfect, but this is what you're trying to do, is you're trying to get to know the Lord yourself, and you're trying to show the kids that this is how it's done.
That's so good.
Yeah, I wouldn't say much different than that, except the same thing that I've been kind of saying all along. So the one thing that I would just emphasize again is that one of the greatest responsibilities that any human being can ever have is to disciple a child. And this is what God has called us to. And so, I mean, for myself, I'm blessed to be a pastor and to see that responsibility I have at the church to care for the souls of the members that the Lord has brought to me. Boy, it's no less the case in your home. It's more so the case in your home. God has given you the children that He has given you, and I can't think of a greater responsibility than that. Like, there is no responsibility in Diana and I's lives that we consider as significant as raising our kids to serve the Lord. And so so we do everything we can by modeling that to them and teaching them how to be faithful to the Lord and seek to obey His will in all things. And we know that's where we find the greatest success and the greatest joy in life. So just see that responsibility to raise your kids as an incredible gift from God, and submit yourself to Him and let Him be at work in your kids. This is what it's all about. Like, sure, Diana and I see that we've done things that the Lord has worked through us in our kids' lives, but this is all the Lord's work. And to see Him at work in your children's lives is such an incredible joy. So understand the joy that it is, and grab the bull by the horns and get to it.
Have fun.
Yeah, have fun.
Oh, well, amen to all of that. Such a great place to end. Thank you for both of your time. There's just so much gold in this conversation. I know will bless so many people. But thank you both so much. And yeah, just keep on keeping on. You guys are still parents and always will be. And just pray that the Lord continues to guide and sustain and strengthen you as you love and disciple Jaquel and Travis.
Great. Thanks, Brett.
Thanks, Brett.
All right. Bye-bye.